Good morning, 7:38 here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Chip Simmons is the sheriff of Escambia County. He joins us now by phone at this time every Tuesday. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm doing well. So we had this shooting that took place in, I call it Cantonment. I guess it's Molino, really, northwest corner of the county, down some dirt road or something. Do we know anything more about this case yet?
Well, I think it's been reported already that we had a homicide in a 2900 block of Lawson Lane. As you mentioned, that's up around the Molino area. And we ended up arresting Jonathan Hobbs and charged him with first-degree premeditated murder. And we also arrested Don Sluter, principal of first-degree murder. But this is a little tricky. Don Sluter's daughter was dating the victim or seeing the victim, or that was the victim's girlfriend. The mother didn't like it, so Don Sluter didn't like it. Jonathan Hobbs was a friend of Don Sluter's, and she drove him to go to the victim and ended up, Jonathan Hobbs ended up shooting the victim and killing him. That's why she was charged with principal to first-degree murder, and Jonathan Hobbs was charged with first-degree premeditated murder. Now, how it gets tricky is,
Let me just want to make sure I'm following the story so far. You're saying that the female charged was the mom of the girlfriend of the victim. She didn't like the boy, the guy, and so she took this other man with them and went to visit him, and that's eventually that wound up in the shooting. So far, so good?
So far, so good, okay. Yeah. Mother doesn't like daughter's boyfriend.
Got it.
So, and then she brings someone and ends up killing daughter's boyfriend. Crazy about it is that the night before, grandma of the girl went to the victim's house and the granddaughter's house the night before and ended up with handguns, ended up stealing some guns. So now grandmother is arrested. A Holly Sluter is arrested. She's 57-year-old female, and she's charged with armed burglary, as well as her friend, a guy named Charles Parker, 63-year-old. So grandmother and her boyfriend do an armed burglary and steal some things at granddaughter's house. The next day, which was yesterday, mother and her friend go to see the daughter and end up shooting and killing the daughter's boyfriend. So it's just a crazy circumstance, 2 days in the making, and ends up with 4 people total charged, 2 armed burglaries and 2 with murder. Well, 1 with murder and 1 with principal to murder.
Wow. Okay. All right. I can't. That's a lot. So the grandmother and the man, are they also, you said they're charged, are they also under arrest right now?
Yeah, they're in the county jail now.
Wow.
So you got grandmother, mother, and I guess the 2 friends, 2 boyfriends or friends of theirs, are all in jail. And then we have a victim, up there in Molino as well. So it's just just a crazy story. As the investigators were filling me in, I was like, wait a minute. Mother and grandmother, both in jail. Yes, that's the way it is.
So the daughter in all of this, the girlfriend of the victim, she's now, her boyfriend's been killed. Her mom and man are arrested for killing him or connection to killing him. Her grandmother and man are arrested and in jail for stealing guns from him. Her whole life has been completely upended.
So you're right. The lady has her mother and grandmother in jail, and their 2 friends are in jail as well, and her boyfriend has been killed.
Golly. Okay.
Rough.
Wow. Yeah. All right. So there's another event that took place in the last couple of days, and this started in Alabama, I guess, is a guy who's from Flomaton, Eric Mathis. But the arrest with him started weird and wound up extremely violent, right?
Yeah, is that the one that we ended up putting a press release out last week because there was a booking photo that had gone around showing that he suffered some injuries during his fight, basically, with the sheriff's deputies and with our canine. We put a press release out because there's this perception out there among some that law enforcement can never use force and that everything goes according to plan. And unfortunately, that is not the case. In this situation, imagine this. Imagine you're in your car and you see an individual walking through traffic and then he tries to enter your car. How terrified would you be? And then this individual tries to break into a house that's occupied by a teenager. And obviously we get called there. We try to put him under arrest. He fights with the deputies. We try to, just the regular tactics. And then we try to tase him. Then we have a canine. He fights all of these and ends up, suffering some injuries. And while we want to go about our business and do the public service without using force, sometimes these individuals force our hand. And sometimes we, in the course of our duties, have to use that necessary force. And in this case, we feel like we've done that.
I mean, when I was reading this story in the PNJ, and it was, unconscious, and they're trying to secure him again, and he fights again, and three deputies, and they fight, and he fights them again, and the taser doesn't work, and the canine. And, when I look at a story like this, I don't see his wounds and think police violence. I look at his wounds and think he's alive. You brought him in without killing him. And, in this kind of a circumstance, I could see something going the wrong way on that. And that's always the goal, is always to save life, even if there's got to be, some fairly strong force involved. Under the circumstances, it's understandable.
Yeah. And again, as I mentioned before, I think that if you stop for a second and put yourself in the victim's shoes and understand that this suspect, what he was trying to do, and I think that you'd understand that the law enforcement officer is going to do what is necessary to arrest him. We're not going to let this guy go. He's already tried to enter one occupied car. He tried to enter an occupied home. We're not going to be able to just walk away from that. And I don't believe that the residents of Escambia County expect us to. I think the law-abiding citizens of Escambia County expect their law enforcement officers, first of all, to come when they call 911, and we did, to get there whenever a suspect is there, and to do, again, what is necessary to apprehend this person, because this person was a danger to these two people, at least, so the home and the people that were in the car. So I think that the deputies did what the citizens and what their sheriff would expect them to do.
Yeah, it's interesting. I know you and Chief Leiter, and you guys are very emphatic about training de-escalation, training interpersonal communication, training, professionalism and everything else. But I'm always reminded of what my dad used to always tell me. He's like, son, we don't pay the cops to lose a street fight. And at the end of the day, when things go the wrong direction, criminals make their choices, and that's exactly what we pay you for. One of the things that I wanted to ask you about is upcoming. You've got two precincts opening that you've talked about before, and it's finally coming to fruition. Perdido and Molina are opening up, 1 week and then 2 weeks from now? Is that right?
Yeah, we're opening Perdido precinct up this Saturday, February the 6th. We'll be there from 11 o'clock to 2 o'clock. And for those who don't know where that precinct is, it's a rather small building, but it's a building that we have used in the past before I came to the sheriff's office. But it is on Gulf Beach Highway. I think the address is 12950 Gulf Beach Highway. And basically, it's really a celebration for the people in Perdido to say, hey, we're opening back up this precinct. I've assigned a lieutenant, Lieutenant Tony Tampery, to be the permanent Perdido lieutenant. And so, and he's going to be engaging with the community, with the business owners, with the residents over there. And the thought is that if there's a concern, and you don't necessarily have to come to the main office. You certainly can. But what we want is for a lieutenant and deputies to be familiar with that area so they can have a better response and we can provide even a better service to the residents and business owners over on the west side down around Perdido.
Yeah, it seems to be, to me anyway, to give the residents a better form of communication directly face-to-face with a local, and also that it's better knowledge of the sheriff's deputies who are assigned to that area, that they can police that area more effectively. So, yeah, I mean, I'm all for this. Last thing I wanted to ask you about, got a chance to tour the new jail last week. I know that's something that you used to be the county administrator, assistant county administrator, so you were very involved in, the old jail, and the central booking and detention blew up well before you took that job, but still, you've been very involved in this process. Your thoughts about the new correctional facility?
Yeah, I don't know that I'd say I'm very involved, but I will tell you that I worked in the old jail whenever I was in the 80s, my first job at the Sheriff's Office as a corrections officer. And then, as you mentioned, as the assistant county administrator, I was also the chief corrections officer for a year. And in that capacity, we're still working on the design phase of the jail. So while we have a number of people, experts in the field, give us advice, there was some input. So it was kind of exciting for me to go over there and take a look at the jail app, having seen the plans and kind of seen some of the background of that. So I mean, it's very nice. If you compare that to the what we keep calling the old jail or the first jail that I'm aware of, then I think that as I toured the jail, you looked at the size of it, the makeup of it, where the corrections officer will be able to have a better view of the inmates themselves, and it's even better for the inmates themselves. So I think Escambia County is going to be pleased with, you never want to have to have a jail, but based on some of the things we've talked about just this morning, that you have to have a jail, and you have to be able to treat people right. And I think that this new facility will do that.
Yeah, I'm optimistic about it as well. So we're hoping for the best, obviously, as we move forward with the new facility when you finally get inmates in there later on in the summer. Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff. Sheriff, thanks so much for the time, as always. Thanks for helping keep us safe. And please always convey to your deputies how much we appreciate the work that they do.
You bet. Y'all take care.